Okay, we're going to turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. If you were given a black Bible on the way in, one of our church Bibles, then that will be on. Find it a moment. Page 1306. So we've just stopped our. We're going through John on Sunday mornings normally, but we've stopped that for a couple of weeks while there's quite a few people away, and this morning we're just going to be looking at these closing verses, verse 11 to 14 of Romans 13. I'm going to read from verse 8. Just to give a bit of context. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this day, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And this is our text then this morning, from which I get this heading: wake up, get dressed, get going, and do this knowing the time. That it is high time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Well, that's our passage then for this morning. So for those of you who were here last Sunday morning, we were looking at the beginning of Romans chapter 4 last Sunday morning, and I was encouraging you to stop working. If you remember, that was our heading last week: stop working. But this morning we're looking at these verses, and I'm telling you to wake up, get dressed, and get going. And you might think, well, that sounds a bit contradictory, Hugh. What do you actually want us to do? Make your mind up. Do you want me to stop working, or do you want me to wake up and get dressed and get going? And the answer is both. So last week we saw that Paul is telling us to stop working in terms of trying to earn God's favour. Okay, stop working in order to try and gain your place in heaven and secure a righteousness before God, and instead receive the free, gracious gift of salvation that God gives. So just to turn back a moment to that amazing verse. You remember Romans chapter 4 verse 5? I mean, it's a staggering verse. I said it ought to have made us all gasp. Romans 4 verse 5: but to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. So that's an incredible thing. Romans has made clear up until that point, none of us are godly. We're all ungodly. We haven't got any righteousness, not in God's sight. And we couldn't earn it, we couldn't deserve it, and yet it tells us God justifies the ungodly. He declares righteous the unrighteous. And he's able to do that because of Jesus Christ, because he's dealt with our sin and he provides us with a righteousness, so that if we stop working, stop trying to earn our salvation, stop thinking we're good enough, cast ourselves on Jesus, then God in his amazing grace forgives our sins, clears our debts, and declares us righteous in his sight, accepted in the beloved. So that's what I said last week, and I say it again this morning: stop working. Anyone here trying to earn God's favour? Abandon it and rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We saw, didn't we, that's what Paul was making the point. That's what Abraham did, that's what David did, that's what all the Old Testament believers did. It's no new message, it's the same. Stop working. How wonderful the gospel is, how wonderful grace is, how wonderful Jesus is. But does that mean then that we can go, oh wow, that's great, we can all just sit back and be casual about the Christian life? Does that mean we can all be casual about sin and we don't need to worry or give ourselves to living the Christian life? Well, these verses would tell us, not so, not so. We're saved by grace, we're accepted in Jesus, and because of that, we're to realize how precious our salvation is, and how serious the Christian life is. Jesus has died for us to make us his own. Well, we ought to give ourselves then to living the Christian life. And that's what Paul is encouraging us to do in these verses then that we come to in chapter 13. So he tells us, the Paul who encourages us to stop working also says, wake up, get dressed, and get going. And we need both. And so this last week we had the last one. And if you weren't there last week, you can listen to it online if you want to. And then this morning we've got this. Now, as I said to the children, this is we can all get this picture, can't we? Of trying to get up and trying to wake up and get dressed and get out the door with all the battles that that is. So let me just set it in its context. So from chapter 12 of Romans, Paul, having spelled out the gospel, is now talking about some of the practical implications for us all, if we're Christians here this morning, responding in the right way to the grace of God. So Ethan has recently taken us on Sunday evening through Romans chapter 12, that call to give ourselves as living sacrifices. You remember the beginning of chapter 12? Serving the Lord, first of all in the church, that's Romans chapter 12, caring for each other, bearing with one another, and so on. And then chapter 13, we've got to live out the Christian life in society, so we're to be careful, we're to honour those who rule over us, we're to pay our taxes. And then in the passage we looked at, we read verses 8 to 10, we're to live out the Christian life amongst our neighbours, we're to love our neighbours, and so on. And then Paul then is a rallying call at the end of this section. Come on then, now you've got to do that, you've got to wake up and get dressed and get on with it, get out there and live out the Christian life. So that's what I want us to think about this morning. So first of all then, wake up. I'll say it loud just in case anyone is actually already fallen asleep. It's what does Paul say? Look, verse 11, I'm not making it up. It is high time to awake out of sleep. Some people love sleeping, don't they? Find it very difficult to wake up. Some people can sleep anywhere, even in an uncomfortable chapel pew. They can manage to fall asleep. But Paul is calling his readers to wake up. But of course, he's not talking about actual sleep, is he? He's not telling people off for not being morning people or whatever it is. He's using it as a picture of something spiritual. He's warning about living the Christian life as if you were asleep, in a lazy, careless sort of way. Not really alert, not really active as you ought to be. There's nothing wrong with sleep. You know, we need sleep. Some of you could do with a bit more. Paul is speaking about being asleep when you ought to be awake. Somebody ought to be awake and alert and active spiritually, and they're not. We can be like that in the Christian life, can't we? We can be lazy. We can become careless, not really awake and alert. You know what you ought to be doing in the Christian life. You know how you ought to be living. You know what God calls you to do, and yet you're not doing it. Or you know what dangers there are in the Christian life. You know that there's an enemy who would love to bring you down and destroy you. You know that you ought to be on your guard. You ought to be praying and watching. And yet you're not praying and watching. And it's as if you're asleep. Perhaps if you're honest this morning, that's you at the moment in your Christian life. You're asleep. You're being spiritually lazy. You're not giving yourself to the Christian life. You know what you ought to do. You know how you ought to be living. You know what your priorities ought to be. And they're not. And perhaps the Lord's brought you along here this morning to wake you up. To remind you, it's high time to awake out of sleep. Often told of the dangers, aren't we, of falling asleep while you're driving. You know, it's possible, isn't it? You go along in a car and you begin to feel tired, and then your eyes droop. And before you know it, you're off the road and you've crashed. And it's possible to do something like that in the Christian life, isn't it? I mean, people have done it. Started off all alert and yet got a bit lazy and a bit sleepy and forgotten the battle. And before you know it, they've made shipwreck. There's a crash. Perhaps this morning's sermon can be a bit like one of those, you know, rumble strips along the side of the, you know, when you go off the side, and it all goes. And perhaps the Lord, you know, perhaps this morning's sermon will be a bit like that for you this morning. Wake you up. So Paul calls us to wake up. What reasons does he give to wake up? The answer is because of the time. You know, sometimes I would go in, well, perhaps I still do, I won't say that or not, but you go into the children's bedroom and you go, do you know what time it is? And it's not because my watch is broken. It's that I'm making a statement, actually, aren't I? I'm not really asking a question. I'm saying, you know, what are you doing in bed now? It's time to wake up. And that's what Paul's saying, isn't it? Knowing the time, he says. Do this knowing the time. It's high time to awake out of sleep. So the first thing we see at this point is we ought to know the time. Actually, I see that the time up on the clock there is we're 20 to 10, so I've got plenty of time before lunchtime to keep preaching. It's 2 hours out, isn't it, that clock for some reason. But we need to be aware of what the time is. Knowing the time, Paul says. The Bible says a lot about time, doesn't it? It reminds us none of us know how much time we've got. Life's uncertain. It tells us when it comes to the gospel and believing the gospel, there's only one time, and it's now. Today is the day of salvation. It's now is the appointed time. Seek the Lord while he may be found. So some of you here this morning are not yet Christians, and perhaps it's, you know, you're putting it off another day, when I get older, when I've got a few things sorted out, when I understand everything, when I've got all my questions answered. That's a very dangerous game to play. Today is the day of salvation, because you don't know if you've got tomorrow. But for those of us who are Christians, we ought to know the time. And it's this: it's time to be awake. It's time to be alert. It's time to work. What does it say? Look at the verse again. How does it go on? For now, verse 11, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Now, when the Bible speaks about our salvation, it does so in more than one way, doesn't it? It speaks about it past, present, and future. So, if we're Christians, we've been saved, haven't we? So, Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved. We've already been saved if we're Christians, haven't we? Well, God saved us from our sins. The Bible also speaks about salvation as an ongoing thing. It talks about 1 Corinthians chapter 1, to you who are being saved, it is the power of God. So it's an ongoing process, isn't it? God's working in us. He's working out our salvation in us, and we're to be working out our salvation. But then also, as it's here, the Bible talks about salvation as something ahead. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Keep you alert. Let's turn on to 1 Peter if you want to in your Bibles. 1 Peter, just a bit further on. 1 Peter chapter 1. You remember Peter speaks about our inheritance incorruptible. This is verse 4. 1 Peter 1 verse 4. Inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, doesn't fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith, for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. See, so we're heading to heaven. We're soon going to be there. The Lord's going to return, and we don't know when that might be, so we've got to be awake. We've got to be alert. We've got to know the time. We're living in time, but eternity's coming, and the Lord's going to return, and we need to be ready and alert and living in the light of that. Because we know, don't we, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Now we believe, don't we, in the perseverance of the saints, that once God saved us, our salvation is his work, isn't it? So what he begins, he will complete. But the Bible never uses that to allow us to be sort of casual and lazy. We've got to wake up. We've got to understand the times. And he goes on, doesn't he? Look at the beginning of verse 12. This is still speaking about what are we living in? When are we living? Well, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. That's the time, isn't it? When are we living? Well, we're living in the night, if you like. The Bible uses the night to speak about darkness, to speak about sin and this broken world and all its impact. And we're living in the night, aren't we? So it's a dangerous time and sin around, and we've got to be on our guards. And yet the day's at hand, isn't it? Christ's coming. A new creation's coming. Sin's going to be dealt with once and for all, and we're living in the light of that day. So Paul says, wake up. Wake up. Understand the time. You know what time it is. We're in. Our salvation's coming. We're living in the dark. We're living in this world of sin, but the day's coming. Just turn on once more with me. 1 Thessalonians, just again a little bit further on in your New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 5. Paul puts it lovely, beautifully here. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Okay, so we're living in the dark, but we don't belong to that anymore. We're children of the light, as we'll see in a moment. And we've got to live in that way. So here's the first thing. It's not hard, is it? You children can understand it. Wake up. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've been spiritually asleep. And you've been dozing. And you've been lazy. And although you can stop working in terms of being saved, we have got to work out our salvation, haven't we? So we need to wake up. That's the first thing. Okay, second thing. Get dressed. So verse 12, look again how it goes on. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armour of light. So Paul is using language of clothing here, isn't he? You know, when you wake up in the morning, you take off your night clothes and you put on your clothes for the day, appropriate for the day. I know there was stories, wasn't there, of mums taking their children to school in their onesies. But there was a bit of an outcry about that. You don't do that, do you? You get dressed for the day. That's the language Paul's using here. So first of all, there's things to take off. So what does he say? Let us cast off the works of darkness. So again, darkness used to speak about sin and this rebellious world that seeks to live without God, the God who's light. And so it's speaking about sin, isn't it? Putting off the old sinful ways, the old sinful deeds that characterize this world and used to characterize our lives before we were saved. Now this is why we read from Colossians. So again, I'm turning you to a few places this morning. Colossians chapter 3, because Paul uses that same language there, doesn't he? Putting off and putting on. That sort of clothing language. So what do we read in Colossians 3 verse 8? But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. Okay, so that's the sort of language. It's very specific things, isn't it? That they're to cast off like old clothes, that anger and outbursts of wrath and malice and jealousy, those things. Oh, you don't wear those anymore. You sometimes get out the old photographs and your children laugh at you, don't they? Did you really wear that? Oh, did you? What about that jumper? Did you? Was that a bet? What were you wearing that? And it's a bit, isn't it? There's certain things that as Christians we're not to wear anymore. We shouldn't be seen wearing those, seen clothed in those old actions. They're the works of darkness, and it's an ongoing activity, isn't it? Putting off these things, getting rid of them, daily asking for grace to help. It's a deliberate act, isn't it? Casting these things off. Selfishness, pride, anger, lust. And it's a strong word, isn't it? Cast off. So it's not like, you know, well, put those in the drawer. You know, they might come back into fashion one day. You never know. I might be able to take them out again. This is burn it, isn't it? This is get rid of this. We're never wearing this again. This is not for me anymore. I'm a different person now. And what are we to put on? Well, I'm not making it up, am I? Look at verse 12. Cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armour of light. That's what it says. Put on the armour of light. That tells us something straight away, doesn't it, about the Christian life? I mean, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to work it out. Well, it's telling us something about the Christian. If you saw me going up Long Street, dressed in a camouflage army clothes and a bulletproof jacket and a helmet, you'd think, oh, he's really finally lost it now. I mean, some of you think that anyway, but you think, yeah, that's really gone, hasn't it? Why ever is he dressed like that? But if I was on the front line in Ukraine wearing those clothes, you go, well, that's, well, I mean, that is extremely, that's what you want to wear there, don't you? So the fact that Paul tells us you've got to put on the armour of light reminds us of what we often need to be reminded. Wake up and remember, you are in a battle. You are a soldier. You have an enemy who would love to destroy you. I mean, that ought to wake us up, shouldn't it? And so what do we need? We need the armour of light, Paul says, doesn't he? That's what we've got to put on, the armour of light. Now, we haven't got time this morning to look at Ephesians chapter 6, have we? In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul speaks about the armour of God, doesn't he? You can look at it, go through it all again at home today if you want to, or some point this week, just to remind you of what you ought to put on, those things that we need to put on, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We've got to put on each day, haven't we? The gospel. We've got to take up the Word of God every day. Read God's Word every day. We need to put on the armor so we're ready for the battle and ready for Satan's wiles and temptations, so we'll stand firm against them. But it's interesting, Paul calls it the armor of light. There's that theme, isn't there? Darkness and light going through this passage. Because he's speaking about the clothing of purity and holiness and godliness. Interestingly, the word armour, I don't know what it's like, if it's translated differently in your version, if you've got a different one, but it can be translated as weapons of light. Similar words. It can be translated armour or weapon. And as we live in this world of darkness, there's nothing that pushes back the darkness like a godly life. Actually, so you remember back in, where is it, the end of chapter 12, you remember the last verse of chapter 12 of Romans? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Yeah, few things more powerful than a Christian living a godly, holy, Christ-like life. That's our weaponry, as it were, isn't it, to live godly lives before this world, to put on what did Colossians say, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering, above all these things put on love. So have you got your armour on? Are you aware this morning you're in a battle, Christian, that you have an enemy, that yes, you can stop working in terms of earning your salvation, but then in a sense you stop working and you begin fighting and you put on the armour of light. But go to the last verse of our passage now, because Paul also says put on the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't he? But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're Christians, in one sense we've already put on Christ, haven't we? Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 and 27, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So that's what we were thinking about last week. We're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. God covered us, if you like, with his righteousness. We put on Christ. But here in Romans 13, Paul is saying, encouraging us to become like him. To put on his characteristics, to put on his graces, so that as we trust him and know him and walk with him, we become more like him, so that when people look at us, they see something of what Jesus is like, something of the glory of the gospel. I mean, there was no one who made more of a difference when he went somewhere than Jesus, just the way that he was. And that's what we're to be like then. So there's the second call. Wake up and get dressed. Christian, are you conscious in your life of this ongoing activity of putting off putting off those old things. Oh, I don't want to be, let's get rid of that. Did I do that again? Let me get rid of that. Lord, help me deal with that anger and that lust and that greed and that pride and all those things that really I ought not to be displaying anymore. And, oh, Lord, help me to put on the armor of light and stand against the wiles of the devil and put on Christ and may he be seen and those graces. Help me, Lord. Help me day by day. Those don't make us a Christian, but they're the signs, aren't they, that we are the Lord's, that we belong to the day and not to the night. And then one last thing, wake up, get dressed, and get going. So verse 13 says, let us walk properly. So now we're up and dressed and we need to get out and get on with our lives. That's what Paul means here by walk. He often uses that, one of his favourite pictures, isn't it, of the Christian life, of our behaviour, living the Christian life. Some translations have just translated it, let us behave properly, behave decently. And then Paul goes on, what does he say? Look at it, let's walk properly as in the day. So we're back in that day, night, light, darkness picture again, aren't we? In other words, let us walk as those who belong to the day, belong to the light, who've been brought to know the God who is light and whom is no darkness at all. Let's begin to walk as if we're in the day. So there's a way to live as a Christian, isn't there? A way that's different from the world, the way the world around us lives. Different motives, different priorities. It's going to be seen in different actions and different interests. There's a way to walk. Walk properly. And Paul tells us the negative side, doesn't he? He tells us how we're not to walk in verse 13, doesn't he? Because we need to be reminded of how we're not to walk. So he says, let us walk properly as in the day. Look what he says. Not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Isn't it striking how not much has changed in 2,000 years, isn't it? I mean, what was the world characterized by then? Well, partying and drunkenness, immorality, innuendo, a casual approach to sex, lust, gossip, envy, jealousy. I mean, not very much has changed, has it? I mean, that's our world today, isn't it? A world where drunkenness and cheap sex and innuendo and smut and gossip and jealousy and all the brokenness that comes from all of those things is so evident. And Paul's saying, don't walk in that way. Don't go that pathway. Brothers and sisters, we're different. We've been brought into the light. Now, God's given us wonderful appetites and desires. We can enjoy life. Of course we can, and we should, and we should show the world around that it's possible to enjoy life, but enjoy life within the wonderful boundaries that God, the good God who knows us best, has set for us. So walk, live. Go out and live. He said, wake up, get dressed, and live. Walk as you should, as someone who knows the God who is light. And to help us, a very practical there in verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. He's speaking about sinful, wrong desires there, and he literally says, don't give it any time, don't give it any thought, don't feed it. You know, we're surrounded, aren't we, on the telly, on the internet, in conversation, on so many different fronts, and social media, on all your phone, different, what do you call them, Facebook and everything else, with so much that's feeding the flesh, that's encouraging lust and greed and pride and jealousy and all those other things. And we have to be careful, don't we? Paul's saying, don't feed it. I mean, all those things are there in our hearts, and we've got to starve them, haven't we? Not feed them. So we need to be careful with what we watch and what we look at and what we give our time to. Make no provision. Don't feed it. Don't encourage it. So often sin begins with thoughts, doesn't it? Begins with what we think about, what we look at, what we dwell on, what we feed our souls with. And so what does Paul say instead in Philippians 4? Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. Walk properly. If you go through Paul's letters, it's a good thing to do, actually. Just see the way he uses that idea of walking. So actually back in chapter 8 of Romans, verse 4, he speaks about, do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So we're to walk in the Spirit, aren't we? Not we're to walk with the Spirit's help, with his strength. We're to walk in love, Paul says. Walk circumspectly, walk as children of light. You've got all those pictures. We walk by faith and not by sight. And then John has that lovely little phrase in one of his letters, doesn't he? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Walk in the truth. So Paul is saying to us this morning, and he's brought us all along here, he's brought me along here this morning, and you along here, to remind us again, to wake up, be spiritually alert, to get dressed, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and get going. Walk properly, live your life, the life that God's called you to live, and to walk it to the full, and to live it for Him, and for His glory, and His for our good.